There is so much hope in this passage that we have today. During the season of Lent, we've been wanting to keep our hearts pointed toward the Lord in hope. That's the real theme, the spiritual theme, and the direction that the Lord gave us here for our parish during Lent. And the Lord is good. He gave that to us, gave us that direction before we even got into the craziness that we're in. He knows what we face, and already was inviting us and calling us to step out in hope during the season of Lent, to already begin to set our hearts on the Lord's victory over everything, sin, death, everything, to attach ourselves to that and to believe his promise that we were called to share in that victory. And in light of that victory and our hope, our confident hope to share in it, we don't let the struggles of life pull us away or just destroy our hope. Even in the face of death itself, we and every Christian, we're supposed to have hope. If we really believe that the Lord is victorious over death, over sin, then our reason, our cause to be hopeful, even in the face of death, is always meant to be great. And we have that today. This fifth Sunday of Lent with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, it's kind of like a little bit of a little mini Easter for us. It points ahead 2 weeks to Easter already. We're letting that get stirred up in us in a greater way. And the hope that we have today in light of this passage is a hope that believes and says nothing, not even death itself, not even a sealed tomb, is beyond what the Lord can do. And listen, this is important in these days. I know there are many of you that are anxious over a financial situation right now, with the non-essential businesses having been asked to close down. And for many of you, that means that work is going to be restricted, income then is going to be restricted. And even with the help that the state is giving, there's an anxiety in many of your hearts. And today the Lord says, look, if I am able to open up a stone-sealed tomb and raise someone from the dead, do you really think that I'm not beyond providing for your needs right now? There are some of you that are anxious around the matters of health and just fearful over the virus, the pandemic. And even into that, the Lord says, look, no matter what happens, if I'm not powerless before death, do you really think I'm going to be powerless over something, anything that happens in your life? So today, the Lord is wanting to call us. He is calling us to have a powerful and a tremendous and a rock-solid hope in him as we see his power over sin and death. And the hope that we have, it's meant to apply to our actual bodies, and like that even in the face of death, we know, Lord, we are waiting, even in death, for your resurrection, to share in the victory of your resurrection. So the hope applies to our bodies. The hope today that the Lord can do anything, that there's nothing beyond him, that hope applies to relationships that have died because of sin, because of a lack of love, because of the wounds that we carry in our hearts that make relationships hard. Today, the Lord says, I want that hope to be applied to relationships in your life that have died, that I might raise them up and bring new life there. This hope applies to our spirit. Wherever we become dead to hope, some of you have just experienced so much suffering and struggle in life that it's left you in a place where hope has died in your heart. You feel like you've been so beaten down by stuff in life that you're afraid to even get hopeful because your experience has been more of suffering. But the Lord's not done yet. And our hope is not fixed only right now in this very moment. Hope is seen in the whole big arc of eternity. And we've got to see what we're going through now in light of the resurrection of the dead. And so to those of you whose spirits have lost hope and hope has died, the Lord says, let me call that back to life. And then, above all, and in the big picture, the hope that the Lord is wanting to pour out on us today, this is meant to apply to all of the areas of our life and our heart, in our relationship with God, where we have become dead to God, areas where sin has left us dead to Him, where we used to feel a tug in our heart to prayer, but maybe that just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, He's tugging, but we just don't feel it. Where in the midst of struggles, we just run to our go-to kind of comfort things, the stuff that we medicate ourselves with, because we've lost that sensitivity to the presence of God in our life because of sin. In that area especially, the Lord says, I want you to have hope that in all of these areas, I can raise you up to new life. So how do we hold on to that hope? What do we have to do to make it real? So from the gospel today, three things that we've got to imitate today, I think, in order to hold on to and to have that hope. So the first thing we have to do is imitate Martha and Mary and in trusting our needs to Jesus in a way where we're going to give it to Him without telling Him exactly what He has to do. So at the beginning of the passage today, we're told that the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." That's all they say. You know, there's kind of an echo here of Mary in the wedding feast at Cana, when all she says to Jesus is, "They are to Jesus, they have no more wine." But then she just leaves it in His hands that way. So, entrusting our needs to Jesus without telling Him, "Lord, this is the way that You've got to do it," we can't go there. He sees the big picture. He knows what He's doing. But He does want us to entrust our needs to Him. And so that's the first thing we've got to imitate in this. Don't be afraid to let Him know what your needs are. And then together with that, be honest with Him in your prayers from your heart. So when Jesus finally arrives in Bethany after Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, Martha says to Him, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." And she just tells Him what's going on in her heart. And that's the kind of prayer the Lord wants us to have. Unless we really open up the depths of our heart, even to that kind of stuff where we say, like, "Lord, you know, look, I have to be honest, this is not the way I thought it would go. I thought You would have done something different than this." Unless we let Him into the depths of our heart that way, I think it's going to be harder for hope to get stirred up and to really take root in the depths of our heart. So be honest with Him. Even Mary, when she meets the Lord, she says the same thing. "Master, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." So both of the sisters are just really honest in the way that they speak with the Lord. Here's the third thing that we have to imitate. And it's the belief that the sisters have. And especially we have Martha here, when Jesus says to her, after she says, "Look, if we open up the tomb, it's going to smell. He's been dead for 4 days." And Jesus says to her, "Look, I told you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Do you really believe that? And do you believe that I am the resurrection, that I am the life? Do you believe this?" And Martha says to Him, "Yes, Lord, I've come to believe that that's who You are." So it's these three things, especially that act of belief, that we've got to imitate in the gospel today. We've got to entrust our needs to the Lord. We've got to be honest with Him in our prayer. And we have to be ready to believe. And remember, belief is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's an act of the will where we say, no matter what I see with my human eyes, no matter what I feel with my emotions, "Lord, I'm making an act of the will to trust You, to believe in You, and I'm just going to put all these things into Your hands." So belief is not just something that we feel. It's a decision that we make. Now, as we do all of those things, two things from the context of this amazing miracle that we have to keep in mind as well. Check this out. All of this stuff for Martha and Mary is happening in the midst of a very real and personal relationship that they have with Jesus. We're told in the beginning of this passage that they love Jesus, that they're friends with him, that Jesus loves them. And John tells us by name that he loves Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. So all of this is happening in the context of a relationship with God. And we've got to remember that he wants you to have that personal and that intimate relationship with him. So doing these three things has got to happen in the context of a relationship. It's not just an academic thing, an intellectual thing that we do. And then secondly, as we strive to imitate them in those three things, as far as context goes, remember that Jesus loves to be at work in the most hopeless of situations. And so you're going to be asked to imitate Martha and Mary in these three things, not just in the easy stuff of life, but in the situations that are darkest and seem most beyond hope. Why? Why is it that the Lord tends to want to work in those situations? Like, why is it that he doesn't take the easy stuff to deal with? The reason is because he wants to move into that extreme situation where if something good happens, it could only have been God who did it. If the Lord worked only in easy situations, we might say, well, you know, maybe by our human effort, we made something happen. So he just eliminates that. Like, he usually tends to go into the darkest, deepest place where there is, from a human point of view, no reason to hope at all. And he does that so that the Father might be glorified in what he's doing. Three times in the gospel today, Jesus says, all of this that's happening is for the glory of God. He wants the Father to be glorified. He wants us to say, Father, no one could have done this but you. No one could have raised someone from the dead who had been in the tomb for 4 days. Like, this is beyond anything that a human being could do. He wants to be glorified because when he's glorified, it disposes our hearts to believe in him. I mean, to really just put our whole life into his hands. That's what he wants. He wants us to believe because that's salvation for us. So glory to God that we might believe, that we might be saved. That's what he wants. And so this is why he just so often, deliberately goes into the darkest of situations, the things that seem just most beyond human hope. And so that's the context that we need to be aware of. It's in that situation that the Lord is going to ask us to entrust our needs to him without telling him what to do, and to speak honestly from our hearts in prayer, and then to believe, Lord, I trust that you can do this. So on this fifth Sunday of Lent, let's pray for the grace to imitate those three things today. And whatever that situation is in your life, that thing that's in the tomb, that's been there dead, the stone is laying across it, let's ask the Lord, Lord, please step up to that tomb today and roll back the stone, and whatever it might be, Lord, bring it back to life. Give us that gift, Lord, of hoping as we look ahead to our coming celebration of your passion, death, and resurrection.